Okay, good. Brilliant. Right, let's begin with a question. Are you a spiritual person? Are you a spiritual person? Or, put a different way, are you, or maybe your friends, interested in spirituality? It's actually quite a fashionable term. It's something people are talking about. This was one article that was on the BBC News website back on the 7th of April this year. Can you be spiritual if you don't believe in God? Can you be spiritual if you don't believe in God? So Wikipedia defines spirituality as this. It may include a belief in the supernatural. It involves personal growth, a quest for an ultimate or sacred meaning, religious experience, or an encounter with one's own inner dimension. What do you think when we start talking about spirituality? And here it says, more than half of the British population identify as having no religion, but many have a spiritual side. 10 people explain what spirituality means to them. So let's click through and hear one of these answers. This one person writes, in a time and age where individualism and self-indulgence saturates the social dimensions, I found Sufi spirituality offers the inner warmth that the divine spark in every one of us yearns for. I believe, said this person, all religions are expressions of the one truth. Like the base of a mountain, humans have compelled themselves to be different. The more we detach ourselves from our ego, the closer we reach the divine spark, which is to be alive, to be conscious, and share that consciousness with others. So for this person, spirituality seems to all be connected with this idea of some sort of divine spark. And yet, for us, as we've been reading through this book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul has made it very clear where true spirituality is really found. Fullness is found in Christ. If you want to be truly full, truly spiritual, well, you need to remain rooted and built up in Christ. Why? Because Christ is the one who is supreme. He was the supreme creator, and he's the one who's made it possible for all people to be reconciled to God. The problem was, in Colossae, false teaching had slipped in and said, you don't just need Christ to be spiritual, you need to do some other things. And he then writes this, chapter 2, verse 8, which we looked at, it was just after the verses we looked at here last week. See to it, says Paul, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Watch out, says the Apostle Paul, for philosophy, human tradition, and worldly spirituality, and don't be taken in by these things. Instead, he says, be fixed and remain rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Well, the good news is, in the verses we had read today, the Apostle Paul starts to deconstruct some of these alternative spiritualities that are on offer and says, and explains why they are not true spirituality. He will say, beware of spirituality that's focused on religious ritual. Beware of spirituality that's focused on religious experience. And beware of spirituality focused on human legalism. But the temptation is not just that we will fall for those things. He also wants to say something else. You see, the thing is, there will be people who will promote those alternative spiritualities, and they will look at us and then judge us. Have a look at those verses. Verse 16. Do not let anyone judge you. Or verse 18. Do not let anyone disqualify you. For those who engage in these false spiritualities will look down on us who follow Jesus Christ and judge us. And some will seek to disqualify us because we have not experienced the real thing. I'm going to come to this as we work through the material, but maybe you know people who look down on us here at Grace Church and say, they're not real, the real deal. I feel that. I get a post-ordination training. You go around the room, everyone's talking about their church. The fact that we're not a parish church, the fact that we're a church plant meeting in a building that's not our own, where I don't wear a collar, and everything just feels a bit different to some of these people, means we're not the real deal. I feel that. Do you? As you meet with other people, they say, we're not the real deal here. And the Apostle Paul says, do not let anyone judge you. True spirituality is found in Christ alone. So with those thoughts in place, let's consider these three false spiritualities. First up, beware of a spirituality focused on religious ritual. This is verses 16 and 17. Let me read them. So, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So the Colossian Christians are being judged by other people who say, guys, you need to participate in these religious festivals. You're not the real deal because you don't do new moon celebrations. You're not the real deal because you don't keep the Sabbath day. You're not the real deal because you eat things or you drink certain things. Now, as you read that list, they do have a very Jewish feel to them, and that must be right. Religious festivals, of course, the Old Testament prescribes a number of them. Passover, celebration of weeks, of tabernacles. And we've got the Sabbath, or Shabbat, that day of rest. And the reference to foods and things you eat looks like a probable reference to the dietary laws, of which the most familiar one, of course, is that don't eat pork. So there seems to be a real connection to Old Testament Mosaic law, but there seems to be other things going on as well, because there's drinking and new moon celebrations. So it seems that we have something that's Jewish in origin and orientation, but we've been mixed up with other ideas. And these people have come in and said to the Colossian Christians, if you want to be the real deal, well, you need to participate in these things. And Paul says, no. Why? Because these are a shadow of the reality which is Christ. Of course, a shadow is not the real thing. Just think about a shadow. You're standing in the sun and you see the shadow going down. The shadow is not the real thing. Let's think about it in terms of a holiday. Here we go. You're on the Kioni website and you fancy a holiday to the Caribbean. So you look at a nice holiday at Antigua, and then if you've ever looked on a website looking for a holiday, and you may be looking at places you might want to go and visit, and what the hotel might be like, and what the pool might be like, and what the beach might be like, and you're there clicking through. Anyway, then you decide to buy it, having surfed through, and you head off on this holiday, and you go on the plane, and you arrive, and now you're experiencing the real thing. See, this was just a shadow, isn't it? Now, the most bonkers thing to do now is, once you've arrived in Antigua, is get straight back on the plane and go, no, I'm going to go back to surfing my website. You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't go back to surfing the website when you could experience the real thing. And that's what Paul says here about the Colossians. The Colossians were being tempted to go back and say, you need to keep Old Testament rituals. He says, why would you do that? Because the whole point of them was they were to point to Jesus Christ. And actually, this is a really key verse for helping us understand actually the whole Bible. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. And so as we read the Old Testament, and particularly as we read the Old Testament law, we need to see that it's pointing to Jesus Christ. And much of it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let me just take one example. They have a priest in the Old Testament. Priests were there interceding between the people and God, offering sacrifices. To help us understand that we on our own cannot stand in the presence of God. We need a mediator. But of course, what's the priest there to do? To point us to Jesus, our great high priest. Because he's the perfect high priest. He did nothing wrong. So he has the right to offer himself for us, to be the true mediator. And the consequence is now we don't need any more priests, because it's been fulfilled in Christ. Now, I'm conscious for most of us here, there's probably not a temptation to go back to those Jewish traditions. And yet, some forms of Christian worship have far too much in common with these things. So if you go to the Old Testament and you went to the temple, what sort of things would you find? Well, you'd probably find a tabernacle, certainly pre the temple. You'd have had a sanctuary. You'd have had lampstands, altars, sacrifices and priests. And sadly, you go into some churches today, and what do you find? Tabernacles, altars, sacrifices, and priests. Why would you go back to those things which were only ever there to point us to Christ? Well, we can have the real thing in Christ. We don't need to go through a priest to get access to God when we have Jesus Christ. And so when people say to us, here. Oh, you don't have any of those things. Let's not let anyone judge us, because we have Jesus Christ. So beware of a spirituality focused on religious ritual. Now let me just, before I finish this, just flip the point the other way. Some independent churches don't celebrate Christmas Day. They say it's a pagan festival, there's nothing in the Bible requiring us to celebrate Christmas, and so they don't. Do we judge them? Do we judge them for not keeping a celebration that's not in the Bible? So let's not let anyone judge us. Be confident in all that we have in Jesus Christ. But let's also be careful that we don't judge others for not keeping on extra-biblical celebrations. Okay, number two. Let's beware of a spirituality focused on religious experience. Verses 18 and 19. Paul writes, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." So this time, the warning is about people who delight in false humility and worship angels. And as they do that, they're attempting to disqualify us. So essentially what they seem to be saying is, because you do not have these certain spiritual experiences, verse 18, you're not the real thing. So let's just unpack that carefully. Firstly, we have this false humility, and that gets explained, I think, verse 19. These people go into great detail. I just think, just note the great, it's great detail about what they have seen, and they are puffed up. We have here people who spend a lot of time talking about themselves and their personal spiritual experiences. And in it, although it might come across quite humble, it's actually quite arrogant, because it's all about them and what they've experienced. And verse 19, Paul declares that this person has lost connection with the head, which we know from chapter 1 to be Christ. And because they've lost connection with Christ, they stop growing. And then, picking up this growing language in there, growth always comes from being rooted in Christ. And so I think the implication here is we have people who are not all about Christ. They're far more about themselves and their own spiritual experience and some additional spiritual experience they need to have. And again, we just need to be honest, that is alive and well, that thinking, in our churches in this city. Unless you have a second baptism of the Holy Spirit accompanied by the speaking of tongues, you're not a proper Christian. Charismatic leaders who talk a lot about themselves and the spiritual experiences that they can offer. And we want to say this. All believers trusting in Christ have the Holy Spirit. There's no special additional experience or baptism needed. We have everything in Christ. But I want to push a second application a little bit closer to home on this one. In our day-to-day conversations, what do we talk about as we talk about church, about God? Do we talk a lot about ourselves and maybe our own spiritual experience? Or do we talk a lot about Christ? I'm part of a prayer triplet from my days at theological college. And often it's in those environments, it's worth asking the question, what are we talking about? Is there a lot of talk about ourselves? Or a lot of talk about Christ? We see, if we're going to be connected to the head, we need to be all about Christ. And then in these verses, we've also got this concept of the worship of angels. And it seems to have been connected with these visions that are also going on. But I think we just need to be clear on this. If we're worshipping angels, who are a created thing, we are not worshipping Christ, who deserves all our worship. So we need to be aware of any teaching or spirituality that suggests we should worship created things. Now, the Church of England has 39 articles which set down the sort of, which all clergy have to assent to about what we believe. Here is one of them. The Roman doctrine concerning purgatory, pardons, worshipping and adoration, both of images and of relics, and the invocation of saints, is a futile thing, foolishly conceived, and grounded on no evidence of Scripture. On the contrary, this teaching is repugnant to the word of God. Our own doctrine is quite clear on this. We're not to engage in the adoration or worshipping of images or relics or invocation of saints, which of course was the pressing issue when they were written. But it does mean we need to be careful that we do not engage in activity that involves the worship of angels, the worship of Mary, the worship of saints. No, we worship Christ and Him alone. Do not let anyone disqualify you because we do not practice these things. Beware of a spirituality focused on religious experience. Finally, beware of a spirituality focused on human legalism. Let me read verses 20 to 23. So since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So here we are, we're now moving into the world of human legalism. Rules such as, do not eat, do not taste, do not touch. Now we have to be honest, that type of spirituality, that is all around this city, isn't it? I went home, I was on Google, I put into there, what not to eat to be spiritual. And do you know what? A whole pile of responses came up. And you get to the bottom and it gives some more recommendations, and we've got foods for spiritual growth, a spiritual diet plan, and spiritual diet cleansing. It's all there. It's out being offered. Our world loves this stuff. But verse 20, the Apostle Paul describes it as the elemental spiritual forces of this world. See, we humans love rules to be spiritual. What's the latest trend? Well, I think it's veganism. Veganism is seen as the latest trend. Being vegan, apparently, is something that can make you more spiritual, some are advocating. It cleanses the body. Chatham played as yesterday I was chatting with someone from a Mormon background. And he was explaining that Mormonism places restrictions on the consumption of coffee or tea or alcohol. Oh, well, and it's live in the church as well, isn't it? How about not eating meat on a Friday? And then we've got Lent, another human tradition that churches can burden people with. Abstain from certain food for this period, and you will be more spiritual. The question is, what is the purpose of the rules? Well, end of verse 23. Paul writes, they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. But I wonder if that's exactly what the people advocating the rules hope they will do. If you abstain from certain things, that will make you morally a better person. I've certainly heard that being advocated. You are a better person if you do not eat or do not drink certain things. In verse 23, Paul admits, these rules look very wise. They look wise in human terms. Giving up things makes us look wise and spiritual. Rules are marked by self-imposed worship, false humility, and harsh treatment of the body. But the striking thing is this, Paul's point is, they lack any value. They will not make you more spiritual. They will not make you a morally better person. Imposing a whole bunch of rules will not make you more moral or godly. And therefore, when the world's response to things that are bad is to create more rules, it doesn't work. Why? Well, the Apostle Paul will go on to talk about this more in chapter 3, but the answer is Christ. Only Jesus Christ can transform the heart. Only Christ can transform the way we live. Let me just think about that in terms of parenting or youth and children's work here at Grace Church. Every child needs Christ, not more rules. Been reading at the moment Paul Tripp's book on parenting, and it's essentially 14 principles to explain how to parent. And to be honest, to young children, I'm up for anything that's out there to help. But here we go, these principles. And the third one is all about the law. It's quite interesting. So this is particularly God's law and how it sets down in the Bible. What does that, how does that shape how we parent? So here's this principle. Your children needs God's law, but you cannot ask the law to do what only grace can accomplish. So yes, the law's a good thing because it helps us see how God wants us to live, but only grace can transform a child. He goes on to write this, and it's on the screen. If rules and regulations have the power to change the heart and life of your child, rescuing your child from himself and giving him a heart of submission, Jesus would never have needed to come. Imposing a whole bunch of rules, he says, will not change the heart of your child, will not change their life so they can find themselves and give them a heart of submission. Only Christ can do that. And so the question for us is, are we making Jesus Christ and his grace and love central to our discipline and bringing up of our children? Is it what marks our youth and children's work here at Grace Church? Or are we just going back into rules? Is my response to dealing with issues just to create another rule? Or is it to point them to Christ? Beware of a spirituality focused on human legalism. It cannot make people more moral. We need Christ. That brings us to a close. I'm conscious I have thrown out all sorts of things this afternoon. And some of these things do get under our skin. And I've had lots of conversations sort of all day with people asking different things and coming at different angles. If you want to chat to me afterwards, feel free to do. But I just want to close with one thing. The point the Apostle Paul is making in this letter is that all we need is found in Christ. For those of you here last week, we've been reminded we need to be rooted, built up, strengthened in Christ. That is where fullness comes. That's where true spirituality is found. It's where forgiveness is found. It's where our hope of the future is found. And therefore, that is the heart of our spirituality. We don't go looking elsewhere. We look to Christ. So let's not be judged by those who say we need something else. Don't let other people try and disqualify us. Don't let legalism do what only Christ can do. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this book of Colossians and this reminder of how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. Thank you that we have this reality now in Christ, that in him we have been redeemed. When we were once enemies, you have rescued us and given us forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to remain connected with him, trusting in him, rooted in him, established in him, strengthened in him. May we be those who keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We ask that in Jesus' name.